blinked sleepily. Had the poor child fainted out of fear? Tears crowded Gwenor's eyes as she fell to her knees and gathered the girl into her arms. "Eviana, sweetheart!"
"Gwenny?"
Eviana wrapped her arms around Gwenor's neck.
"I thought you..."
She let out a wail as a shudder racked her small body.
"I thought you were gone."
"Nay, sweetie." Gwenor held her tight, rubbing her back. The acrid scent of urine reached her nostrils. At some point during the flight, the child had wet herself. "I won't leave you, I promise. And I'll get ye back home."
"I want my mama."
"I know." Tears ran down Gwenor's cheeks, as once again she felt responsible for the terror this child had endured. "Are ye injured in any way?" She rested her palm on Eviana's brow to get a reading. Heartbeat was fast, respiration too quick and shallow. No broken bones, 4 small puncture wounds where the dragon's talons had pierced the skin. Those would need to be washed and treated. The little girl would also need clean clothes, a hot meal, and a safe place to rest. Shouts from within the castle drew Gwenor's attention away from the little girl, and she spotted 2 soldiers watching her from the battlements. One motioned for her to approach the southern gate. She rose to her feet, casting a wary look at the closed gate. It looked forbidding, with its thick wooden walls studded with iron points and painted with a black swirling design. Above it, the Norveshki flag flapped in the breeze. The bottom half of the flag was 3 stripes in red, gold, and blue. On the top half, a red dragon flew across the blue background. Why a red dragon, she wondered, when they were actually more green and purple? But the golden dragon eye on the flag was correct. Puff's eyes had definitely been gold. With a loud creak, the southern gate slowly opened. Gwenor steeled her nerves as she helped Eviana to her feet. "Come with me."
"I want to go home."
"We will, soon." Gwenor smiled, even though her heart was pounding with trepidation. A dozen armed guards strode toward them. Black leather boots and breeches, blue tunics emblazoned with a red dragon. At least their swords were sheathed. She hoped that meant they would be treated as guests and not prisoners. Even so, they were definitely eyeing her with suspicion. It couldn't be helped, she supposed, since Norveshka was currently at war with Woodwin. But the way they were inspecting her like an insect made her wish once again she could unleash her frustration and give the offenders a verbal lashing. Not now, she reminded herself, but soon. She pasted a friendly smile on her face and spoke to the guards in Norveshki. "How do you do? I am Gwenor, and this is Eviana, the daughter of King Leofric of Eberron." One of the guards bowed his head. "I am Carlin, captain of the Royal Guard. Come this way." He motioned toward the gate. Gwenor noticed the other guards had surrounded them. "As you wish." She took Eviana's hand and led her forward.
"I can't understand,"
Eviana whined. "They're speaking the Norveshki language," Gwenor explained in Eberroni. "They invited us inside."
"But I want to go home."
"We'll be fine, don't worry." Gwenor squeezed the girl's hand, then switched to Norveshki to address the captain. "You must know that we were brought here by a pair of dragons. Against our will, I might add. But I am sure we can work together to remedy the mistake before any..." "No mistake," Carlin said as he led them through the gate. Gwenor swallowed hard. "Remain calm." They entered a large square courtyard. The castle loomed up on all 4 sides, three stories high, with towers in each corner topped with curiously shaped green copper spires. Along the battlements, Gwenor spotted numerous carved statues of green marble that gleamed in the late afternoon sun. Narrowing her eyes, she realized the statues were all dragons, their long bodies undulating like snakes, and their mouths wide open as if they meant to swallow their prey in one hideous gulp. Even the green copper gutters had downspouts that were designed to look like dragons. The ground was paved with stones, mostly smooth, though she spotted some odd carvings etched in here and there. Swirls and symbols similar to the ones that were painted on the gate. She winced as the gate banged shut behind them.
"Mayhap I was not clear, Captain. This little girl is the Eberoni princess. Her father will not..."
"The queen requested a princess." Gwenor's mouth fell open.
"Are you saying your queen ordered this kidnapping?"
With an annoyed look, Carlin motioned to a group of women entering the courtyard from the southeastern tower.
"Queen Freya is coming. Be careful what you say to her."
"But we need to clear this up as soon as possible."
Gwenor turned toward the approaching women. There were five of them in all, one leading the pack with four following behind. The one in front had to be Freya, Queen of Noveshka. She held her head high, and the way her dark red hair was braided and piled on top of her head added a few inches to her impressive height. Her gown was bright red, while the others were duller shades of red and burgundy. Her heavy necklace was studded with multiple large rubies, while the other ladies had only one small ruby displayed on black velvet ribbons round their necks.
"So many rubies," Gwenor whispered.
Even the queen's hairpin was sparkling with rubies.
"It's Ruba Day," Carlin muttered.
Gwenor had always thought it odd that the Noveshki had named their days after gemstones. Amethyst Day, Diamond Day, Emerald Day, Garner Day, Opal Day, Ruba Day, and Sapphire Day.
"You mean the Noveshki dress with the jewels of each day?"
"Only the royal family and those who are currently in their favor. It is a sign of their power." Carlin lowered his voice.
"Watch your tongue."
Was the queen difficult to get along with? As Queen Freya drew closer, Gwenor could see streaks of grey in her hair and worry lines across her brow and around her mouth. Anxiety, plus insomnia from the looks of the dark circles beneath the queen's eyes. That would be enough to make anyone grumpy. Carlin and the other guards bowed, so Gwenor followed their example and curtsied. The queen ignored them as her gaze shifted to Evianna. Then her face lit up with a smile that made her look 10 years younger.
"My baby!"
She leaned over, extending her arms to the side, as if she expected the little girl to run into her embrace. With a frightened whimper, Evianna wrapped her arms around Gwenor's legs.
"Oh, my!"
Queen Freya pressed her hand to her chest as she straightened.
"Isn't she beautiful?"
"Yes, Your Majesty,"
several of her ladies-in-waiting murmured. Gwenor cleared her throat.
"Your Majesty, may I present Evianna, the daughter of Queen Evianna?"
Queen Freya looked confused for a moment, then nodded with a smile.
"Yes, of course. That is what I named her. I chose a lovely name, didn't I?"
"Yes, Your Majesty,"
another of her ladies answered. Gwenor gave the ladies-in-waiting a wary look. Why were they agreeing?
"I beg your pardon, Your Majesty, but Evianna was named by her mother, Queen Luciana of Eber..." "Liar!"
Anger flashed in the queen's eyes.
"The child is mine. I was in labor all yesterday and last night."
"This little girl is 3 years..."
"I would know my own baby." the Queen interrupted Gwenor. She is mine, is she not, Captain?
Carlan nodded. Yes, Your Majesty.
Gwenor shot him an astonished look, and he turned away, avoiding her gaze. She glanced at the ladies in waiting, but they too refused to look at her.
She looks just like her father, King Petrus.
Freya smiled at Evianna.
She has his black hair and green eyes.
Her father is King Leofric.
You lie!
Freya glared at her. When she waved a hand imperiously, the sun glistened off her ruby rings.
Who is this elfin woman?
Her name is Gwenor, Your Majesty, Carlan replied. Freya narrowed her eyes.
Why is she here? Has she come from Woodwind to steal my baby?
Your Majesty, I would never harm Evianna. Gwenor held the girl close. At first, she thought the Queen was merely deceitful, but now she had a terrible feeling that the Queen actually believed Evianna was hers. Gwenor glanced at the others, but they all looked away, their faces shuttered with embarrassment and guilt. Good goddesses. The truth struck her hard. The Queen was mad, and all these people knew it.
Give her to me!
Freya made a grab at Evianna's arm, and the little girl screamed. You're frightening her. Gwenor stopped the Queen by grasping her around the wrist. The contact immediately triggered her gift, and she gasped at how quickly she was bombarded with information. Never had her gift reacted this strongly, but then never had she touched someone this ill. Sickness permeated the Queen's entire body. How she even managed to stand was a miracle. Freya tried to yank her hand away, but Gwenor tightened her grip and concentrated. The Queen's mind and body were deteriorating. But why? She was so close to seeing the cause.
Let go of me!
Freya screamed.
Poison.
Your Majesty, I can help.
How dare you touch me?
Freya wrenched her hand away and stumbled, nearly losing her balance.
Arrest her!
Your Majesty, Gwenor reached out to steady her. I can help you.
You're an assassin!
Freya slapped her hand away.
You came here to kill me and my baby! Arrest her!
Carlan and one of his guards grabbed Gwenor. Evianna wailed, clinging to her skirt.
Please, Your Majesty,
Gwenor pleaded. She knew the Queen didn't care about her, but surely she cared for the child she believed was hers.
This is frightening, Evianna. Let me take her someplace quiet so she can rest. You are going to the dungeon, Freya announced, and then tomorrow I will decide whether you live or die.
Gwenor's heart lurched. Good goddesses, how could she escape this? She couldn't reason with a woman who was mad. She looked around frantically. All the gates were shut and guarded, and Eberron was so far away. Could the dragon help her?
Puff, can you hear me? I'm in trouble. Take her away!
Freya waved her hand. Yes, Your Majesty. Carlan tugged at Gwenor, and she stumbled. Evianna clung to her, crying. Gwenor struggled to breathe as panic threatened to swallow her whole. This couldn't be happening. It was a nightmare, and she needed to wake up, now.
Release her!
A deep, compelling voice echoed across the courtyard. Immediately the guards let go. Gwenor fell to her knees as she pulled Evianna closer.
Am I waking up now? Will we be back in the nursery at Epton Palace? Please let it be so. Then Evianna would have no memory of today.
Carlan came to attention, tapping a fist against his chest. Each of the guards did the same. The Queen turned toward the northwestern tower. Her ladies-in-waiting gave a collective sigh. Thump, thump, thump. The sound of booted feet echoed across the courtyard. Gwenor rose shakily to her feet to face the newcomers. The late afternoon sun shone into the courtyard at an angle, casting much of the western portion in shadow, so she couldn't see the men clearly. There were three of them, tall, with long-legged strides. The one in front had set the pace, and the two flanking him had matched it, so all three sets of boots rang out in unison. Thump, 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 thump. They walked, no, stalked, toward her, for their strides were powerful and determined. While they were in shadow, she could only see that they were dressed alike. Army uniforms, perhaps, since Carlin and his guards were still standing at attention. As the first man stepped into the sunlight, the ladies-in-waiting gave another collective sigh, and Gwenor's heart stilled in her chest. He was beautiful. His hair, black and wavy, ended at his shoulders. Incredibly broad shoulders. The cut of his jaw, the sharpness of his cheekbones, the smooth breadth of his brow, pale against the dark slashes of his eyebrows, it all added up to make a remarkably handsome man. And his eyes, a brilliant green, were looking at her. With a jerk, she pulled her gaze away so she wouldn't be caught gawking at him. The other two men were visible now, not quite as handsome, but their looks and uniforms were similar. Brown leather boots and breeches, leather breastplates over dark green shirts. Their green capes billowed behind them as they crossed the courtyard. Her gaze drifted back to the one who was watching her. He was more than beautiful. There was an aura of power about him. He must be the general that Puff had said would come, for he looked capable of controlling an entire army. Even the fiercest of dragons would obey his command. Goddess's helper. She no longer wanted this to be a dream. For even with all the danger around her, she wanted this man to be real. She wanted him to be the tall and handsome stranger that the Telling Stones foretold. 3. The numbered stone could refer to the three men, or Eviana turning three, and the colored stones. With a small shock, she realized they were the same as his uniform, green and brown. Chapter 3. As the three men came to a stop, Gwenor noted that the ladies-in-waiting were curtsying, so she did too. Carlin bowed. "My Lord General." "At ease," the gorgeous man in the middle said. Freya rushed to his side.
"Silas, you arrived just in time. I've discovered an assassin," she pointed at Gwenor. "You should arrest her."
Gwenor popped up from her curtsy, ready to defend herself. But before she could say anything, the general had enveloped the queen's hand in his own and turned her away. "Your Majesty," he flashed a smile that caused a few of the ladies to stumble as they rose from their curtsies. "I came as quickly as I could after hearing the news. May I congratulate you on the birth of your daughter?"
"Why, yes!" Freya blushed. "Thank you. I was in labor a dreadfully long time, you know."
"Yes, so I hear." He patted her hand. "But thank the light, you and the babe are doing remarkably well." What nonsense was this? The gorgeous general was acting like the others, playing along with the queen's delusion. Gwenor drew in a deep breath to voice her objection, but the general shot her a warning look with his sharp green eyes. When she lifted her eyebrows as if to question him, he inclined his head ever so slightly. "He's asking me to trust him." It was as clear as if he had spoken. For a moment she wondered if she was experiencing a mental connection with him, like she had with Puff. "Don't jump to conclusions," she chided herself. She was only hoping for a connection because he was the most handsome man she'd ever met. Something flared in his eyes, a spark of gold in the emerald green, and her knees grew weak. Good goddesses, was she about to swoon like these other silly women? She needed to be stronger than this.
Thank you, Silas, Freya said, drawing his attention back to her. Doesn't the baby look just like her father?
Yes, indeed. The general glanced at Eviana, who was still clinging to Gwenor's legs. And to mark the occasion, I have brought you a gift. He motioned to Gwenor. A nanny. As you can see, the princess has already developed a special fondness for her. Freya gasped.
You brought the elf here?
Of course. He gave Gwenor a wry look as if he was daring her to contradict him. She's a noblewoman I captured some time ago in battle, but since then she's learned our language and proven herself quite useful. So General Gorgeous had no problem spinning lies or manipulating a madwoman. Gwenor snorted. But since she was in danger of being imprisoned and even executed, she was not in any position to reject his solution. Even so, she wondered if she could actually trust him. As the general of the Norveshki army, wouldn't he see her as an enemy?
We dare not trust an elf, Freya muttered. She could be a spy or an assassin.
We can trust her, the general insisted. Lady Gwenor cares deeply for the princess, enough to risk her life for her. Gwenor's heart lurched into a fast pace. He knew her name and what she'd done. Puff must have told him everything that had happened. That meant General Gorgeous could hear dragon voices too. It made sense, she figured, since his job would require him to communicate with dragons. But did that mean he had ordered the first dragon to kidnap Eviana? Or perhaps he had ordered Puff to try to stop the kidnapping? Which side was he on?
But elves are such violent creatures, Freya whined.
They are fierce warriors, that is true, the general agreed. That is why Lady Gwenor will make an excellent nanny. No one will protect your daughter as well as she.
Well,
Freya looked confused. Her hands fluttered around her chest, causing the rubies to sparkle in the afternoon sun.
I suppose we can give her a try.
Excellent. He turned toward Carlin. You and your men may return to your posts. Gwenor exhaled with relief. She wasn't going to the dungeon. And as the official nanny, she could remain close to Eviana. And remember, the general stepped closer to Carlin and added softly, Lady Gwenor is my guest. She will be treated with respect. Yes, my lord. Carlin motioned for his men to follow him back to the main gatehouse. With Gwenor's superior hearing, she'd heard the general's whisper. He had to be on her side. For one thing, he kept referring to her as a lady. The status of noble women would shield her from any physical abuse during her stay here in Draven Castle. So most probably, she had two allies in Norveshka, Puff and General Gorgeous. She could only hope they would both prove to be trustworthy and honorable. The general turned to the nearest lady-in-waiting. Your name, please? The woman stumbled back a step.
Olenka, my lord general.
Lady Olenka, would you please escort Lady Gwenor and the princess to the nursery and make sure they are well taken care of?
Yes, of course, my lord general.
Olenka nodded, then curtsied again. I'll drop by to check on you later. The general shot a pointed look at Gwenor. Till then. Gwenor inclined her head, understanding he intended to have a talk with her. That was fine. She needed to talk to him, too.
Oh, everything will be perfect, my lord general. You can trust me.
Olenka motioned for Gwenor to follow her. Come along now.
Gwenor lifted Eviana in her arms and walked toward Lady Olenka. As she passed the queen, she bowed her head.
Good day, your majesty. Freya narrowed her eyes.
If anything happens to my daughter, I'll have your head. I will not lose another child.
Another child? How many had the queen lost?
I will protect her with my life, Gwenor told her, then followed Lady Olenka toward the northwestern tower. As she neared the general's two companions, she noted there was a slight difference in their uniforms. One had three brass stars embedded in his leather breastplate, while the other had two. Did that mean they were officers? The general had four stars on his breastplate. These men were handsome, like the general, tall, muscular, long dark hair. No doubt they knew how to make a few ladies swoon. She blinked in surprise when they both smiled at her. The general cleared his throat.
Alexei, see if His Majesty is available. I need to speak to him.
The one with two stars nodded.
Yes, my lord.
And Dmitri, the general addressed the other officer.
You will go to the nursery and stand guard.
Dmitri stiffened.
The nursery?
You've been promoted to chief babysitter. Alexei smirked, then winced when Dmitri elbowed him in the ribs.
Aye, and he'll be damned good at it.
The general waved at the two men. Go! Even though the general's voice was brusque, Gwenor didn't miss the twinkle of amusement in his eyes. The two men saluted him, giving him wry looks. As Alexei strode toward the northern wing, Dmitri headed toward the northwestern tower with Lady Olenka and Gwenor.
By the light, my heart is still pounding, Olenka whispered as they neared a large double door. She glanced back at the general and sighed dramatically. Did you hear him? He called me by my name.
Gwenor snorted.
What else would he call you?
With her superior hearing, she caught the rest of the general's conversation with the queen.
Your Majesty, he tucked her hand under his arm, you must be exhausted. Please allow me to escort you back to your suite so you can rest.
That is very kind of you, Silas.
The queen went meekly along with him while the other ladies-in-waiting followed.
I fear I'm not feeling quite myself these days.
Yes, I gathered that, the general said, and the melancholy tone of his voice pricked at Gwenor's heart. He did feel sorry for the queen after all.
This way.
Olenka opened the door to enter the square-shaped tower.
Quickly now.
Gwenor looked around as she stepped into the foyer. It was rather plain, with a stone-paved floor and unadorned wooden panelling along the walls. The only furniture was a wooden table topped with seven pillar candles. The candles were marked with the hours of the day, and the lit one had burned down to early evening. The large circular tray the candles sat on was decorated with seven jewels around the perimeter. A small metal arrow pointed toward the ruby. For Ruby Day, she realized.
Look, she whispered in Eberoni to the little girl in her arms. 'Tis a weekly clock.
Eviana turned her head to look.
It's pretty, Gwenny. When are we going home?
Soon, sweetie. I hope.
I don't like it here. I can't understand anybody.
Eviana wrinkled her nose,
and my clothes are wet.
Gwenor brushed back the little girl's hair.
We'll find something else for ye to wear, and give ye a bath, and have something to eat, all right?
Eviana nodded.
Will you please stop dawdling?
Olenka fussed in Noveshki as she rushed up the stairs.
We must hurry. The general will be checking on us soon, and we mustn't disappoint him.
Gwenor suppressed an urge to roll her eyes. Instead, she muttered in Eberoni, Does he cause the sun to rise in the morning?
Dimitri choked back a laugh.
Gwenor winced. Apparently the officer had understood her.
Sorry.
He stepped closer and said in Eberoni, The nursery is on the top floor. Shall I carry the child for you?
Eviana tightened her grip around Gwenor's neck and buried her face against her shoulder.
Gwenor smiled. I appreciate the offer, but I think I'll have to keep her with me.
Dimitri nodded, then switched to Noveshki. I'm sure it's been a difficult day for you both.
Olenka stopped on the first landing of the stairs and glared down at them.
What's taking you so long?
We're coming.
Gwenor started up the stairs slowly, since she was carrying Eviana. She winced as the little girl's wet clothes soaked into her bodice.
I have to make sure everything's perfect.
Olenka frowned as she smoothed her hands over the skirt of her burgundy gown.
If we hurry, I might have time to change clothes. But should I wear something bright and bold?
She struck a dramatic pose.
Or something more soft and sedate?
She folded her hands primly together. Gwenor groaned inwardly.
I think the gown you're wearing is perfectly lovely.
Olenka sneered at her.
What would an elf know about anything?
She turned to Dimitri, who was trudging up the stairs.
Tell me, Colonel, what sort of woman does the General prefer?
He gave her a wry look.
One with good manners.
Ah, Olenka waved a dismissive hand. Well, I have that covered.
When Dimitri snorted, Gwenor bit her lip to keep from smiling.
Olenka brushed back a red curl from her brow.
If only I had washed my hair this morning.
Gwenor sighed as she reached the landing.
There are more important things to fret about.
Like how traumatized Eviana would be, or how soon she could get the child back home.
Olenka nodded.
You're right. I should be thinking about what I'm going to say to him.
She gathered up her skirt and started up the next flight of stairs.
I need to be intriguing, perhaps a little mysterious.
Why?
Gwenor followed her.
Is the General the only man left alive on all of Earthlan?
What?
Olenka glanced back at her, looking thoroughly offended.
He's the most handsome man on Earthlan.
Gwenor shrugged.
He's tolerable, I suppose, but I've seen better.
When Dimitri choked back a laugh, Gwenor winced. No doubt he would tell General Gorgeous what she'd said.
Better?
Olenka huffed.
Who could be more handsome than General Dravenko?
So that was his name. Gwenor paused at the next landing to catch her breath, then kept climbing.
The kings of Eberron and Turin are both exceptionally handsome.
Olenka snorted.
How could someone like you ever meet royalty?
Gwenor gritted her teeth.
Someone like me has two sisters who are queens, Luciana and Brigitte.
Olenka sputtered.
You're their... How can you be their sister? Aren't you from Woodwin?
No. I grew up with four adopted sisters in a convent on the Isle of Moon,
Gwenor explained. Dimitri's eyes narrowed.
What are their names?
Luciana, Brigitte, Sorcher, and...
Gwenor stopped when both Olenka and Dimitri stiffened with astonishment.
Do you know Sorcher?
We always suspected she was from Noveshka because of her red hair.
What was your name again?
Olenka asked.
Gwenor.
Oh, my dear Lady Gwenor,
Olenka took her by the arm.
Let me help you up the stairs. Is there anything I can do to make your stay more comfortable?
Gwenor glanced at Dimitri, who looked thoroughly amused.
Eviana will need some clean clothes, a hot bath, and a hot meal.
Of course.
Olenka eyed the little girl curiously.
So is she really the Eberoni princess?
Gwenor nodded.
She's the daughter of King Leofric and Queen Luciana.
Dimitri winced. No wonder I'm standing guard. We can't let anything happen to this child.
Gwenor scoffed. Something already has. She was abducted by a dragon. And if she isn't returned soon, both Eberron and Turin will be attacking your country.
Dimitri nodded. I understand. But you needn't worry. General Dravenko will take care of it.
And we'll take good care of you both, Olenka insisted. You'll tell the general how nice I was, right?
Gwenor swallowed her frustration as she continued to climb stairs. As far as she could tell, the lady-in-waiting was being nice, only because she wanted to score points with General Gorgeous.
If you knew Eviana wasn't Queen Freya's child, why did you play along? I could have ended up in a dungeon, and poor Eviana may be traumatized for life.
Olenka hung her head. I'm sorry about that. It just seems better to never upset Her Majesty.
Or you could end up in a dungeon?
Gwenor asked wryly, and Olenka winced.
How many children has the Queen lost? Was it her grief that caused her to fall into madness?
With a gasp, Olenka jerked to a stop.
Hush!
She quickly looked around. You must never speak of that.
Why?
Gwenor paused on a step.
How can you help the Queen if you don't acknowledge her illness?
With a hiss, Olenka pressed a finger against her mouth. Then she leaned closer and whispered,
There is no help for it, and we are forbidden to speak of it.
Gwenor thought back to the moment when she'd held the Queen's wrist. Poison. She was fairly sure of it.
Come, we're almost there.
Olenka hurried up the last of the stairs. When she spotted a maid, she called her over.
We need your help, making the nursery ready.
Yes, my lady. The maid curtsied. I'll bring some wood for a fire. As she dashed away, Olenka strode over to the double doors and flung them open. When Gwenor entered the large room, Olenka motioned to a door on the far side of the nursery.
The dressing room is over there. I'll start a bath for the princess and find something for her to wear.
Thank you. Gwenor set Eviana on her feet, although the little girl still clung to her skirt.
If the general comes, be sure to tell him how helpful I am, Olenka added.
Gwenor sighed.
Would you prefer that I tell him you wish to be courted?
Olenka gasped.
No, don't say that.
She waved her hands frantically.
Please, I only want to show my loyalty, nothing more.
All right, Gwenor agreed, even though she was totally confused.
Thank you.
Olenka dashed across the room as if she was desperate to escape. She burst into the dressing room and slammed the door.
Was it something I said?
Gwenor muttered in Eberoni. Dimitri nodded.
Yes, actually. She and the other courtiers only want to be close to those in power. It makes them feel powerful. But the court ladies would never risk marriage with the general.
He frowned.
Or Alexei. Or me. Why not? I would think any woman would be honored to marry you.
Dimitri gave her a wry smile.
Just as he opened his mouth to respond, the dressing room door flung open, and Olenka jumped out, eyeing Gwenor with suspicion. Is it true what General Dravenko said? She asked. That he captured you some time ago in battle?
Gwenor winced. She couldn't very well say that the general had lied.
He captured you, but never returned you?
Olenka's eyes grew wide as she pressed a hand to her chest.
I should have realized it before. This is so dramatic. The general has taken an enemy elfin woman to his bed.
Gwenor flinched.
What?
That's why he's coming here to check on us. He's worried about you. Olenka pointed at her. He wants to protect his lover.
No.
And that's why you frightened me with that offer of courtship. It was a warning for me to stay away from him.
That's not it, Gwenor insisted.
Olenka nodded with a knowing gleam in her eyes. I can understand how you might be threatened by someone as beautiful as I am. No doubt you see me as serious competition. But I assure you, I only wish to be helpful. I do appreciate your help, but please don't. No wonder you acted like he wasn't all that handsome, Olenka smirked. It's how you keep people from suspecting the truth. Obviously, you're not accustomed to dealing with someone as perceptive as I. She waved a hand in the air. But don't worry, I won't say a word, even though it's gloriously dramatic. She jumped into the dressing room and banged the door shut. Gwenor gawked at the closed door for a moment, then turned toward Dimitri. Please tell me she's the only one who will jump to that ridiculous conclusion. Dimitri shifted his weight, then winced. I'll be outside, standing guard. He closed the doors as he left. Gwenor stared into space for a moment. A few minutes ago, she'd been relieved that the general was protecting her and Eviana. But she hadn't realized what it might look like to others. Goddesses help her. She needed to go home as soon as possible.
Gwenny, look!
Eviana's excited voice shook her out of her thoughts. The little girl caught her hand and dragged her toward one side of the room. Half a dozen windows lined the long wall, allowing the sun to pour in and brighten the room. Between the windows, cushioned window seats looked warm and inviting. Beneath the windows and seats, shelves held a huge assortment of books and toys. Dimitri opened the door to let the maid in. She set a basket of kindling and logs by the hearth, then whisked off a white sheet that was protecting more toys from dust. Eviana's eyes lit up at the sight of a wooden cradle filled with dolls, a red-painted wagon, a toy pram, and a rocking horse.
Can I play with these?
I believe so. Gwenor looked around the long rectangular room. It had to take up most of the western wing. Opposite the wall of windows, there was another long wall with a fireplace in the middle. On each side, there were several beds, still covered with dust sheets. The center of the room was empty, leaving plenty of room for children to run about. The maid pulled off another white sheet that was covering a comfy armchair in front of the fireplace. As she folded it, she cast a few curious glances at Gwenor. Smiling, Gwenor introduced herself and Eviana.
May I help?
She removed a sheet from a second armchair. The maid blushed.
You don't have to do any work, my lady.
She set her folded sheet on the small table between the two armchairs, then rushed over to the nearest bed to pull off another dust sheet.
I don't mind. I like to keep busy.
Gwenor folded her sheet.
May I ask your name?
Nisa.
The maid's blush turned a brighter pink.
I've never met an elf before.
I've never met a Nisa before. It's a lovely name.
Nisa smiled shyly as she folded up the sheet. The bed she had uncovered was definitely for a child. It was short and low to the ground with a railing around the edge. A blue quilt on top was embroidered with red dragons. Gwenor set her folded sheet on top of the stack Nisa was making.
Is that a little boy's bed?
Nisa nodded as she added her folded sheet to the stack.
Prince Tyrus slept there.
Gwenor ran her fingers along the railing of the prince's bed. The quilt looked freshly laundered.
This room has been kept clean.
Yes.
When Nisa pulled off another dust cloth, a crib was revealed.
We have orders to clean the room every fortnight, in case there's a new...
She glanced over at Eviana, then quickly folded up the sheet.
What happened to Prince Tyrus?
Gwenor asked.
Did he outgrow the nursery?
Nisa winced.
No.
She hurried over to another bed and tugged at the dust sheet. An ominous feeling slithered down Gwenor's spine. She glanced at the empty crib and the bed once used by a prince. Then she noticed the headboards. Symbols and swirling designs had been carved into the wood, much like the ones she'd noted earlier in the courtyard and on the gate.
What happened to the prince?
A pained expression crossed Nisa's face before she looked away.
He's gone. He was almost two.
Gwenor's ominous feeling crept into her bones.
And the crib? Was it used by the prince? Or was there another?
Another boy.
Nisa drew in shaky breath.
He lived only 6 weeks.
Gwenor swallowed hard. As she watched Nisa uncover another bed, she realized this one had a white quilt embroidered with pink and lavender flowers. At the head of the bed, pillows were trimmed with ruffles and white lace.
Oh, that's pretty!
Eviana skipped toward the bed with a doll in her arms.
Can I sleep there?
It does look like a bed for a princess, doesn't it?
Gwenor answered in Eberoni, then switched to Norveshki to address the maid.
Was there a little girl?
Nisa glanced at Eviana, then looked away, her eyes glimmering with tears.
Anya was the queen's firstborn child. She lived to be 3.
Gwenor drew Eviana close to her.
The queen lost 3 children?
A tear rolled down Nisa's cheek as she folded up the last dust sheet.
She had 2 miscarriages as well.
Gwenor's heart wrenched. 5 children. That would be enough to drive anyone to the brink of madness.
I'm so sorry.
As Nisa deposited the last sheet on the stack, Gwenor noticed that there were more swirls carved into the white headboard of Princess Anya's bed.
What do the carvings mean?
Nisa turned pale.
Oh, it's nothing.
She grabbed hold of a ball-shaped bead hanging from a leather thong around her neck. The wooden bead had been painted gold to represent the sun god called the Light. Gwenor had noticed that many of the enlightened in Eberron and Turin wore similar pendants around their neck, although the necklaces worn by nobles were usually made of gold. It was normal for them to touch their sun pendants whenever they were upset or felt the urge to pray.
The carvings must have some sort of meaning. Gwenor persisted. I saw the same design on the gate and on the paving stones in the courtyard.
Nisa winced.
Those are runes, for protection. But you needn't worry about them.
Protection against what?
It is forbidden to speak of it.
Nisa dashed toward the dressing room.
I'll see if the child's bath is ready. Wait!
Gwenor followed her.
It is my job to protect Eviana. If there is some sort of danger here, I must know about it.
Nisa paused for a moment, frowning, then shook her head.
I mustn't speak of it. There's no reason for you to worry. I don't think it can affect you or the little girl. It only harms those who marry into one of the 3 clans.
Marry? Gwenor glanced at the closed doors where Dimitri was standing guard outside.
Is this related to the reason why no woman would want to marry the general or his companions?
Nisa winced.
No one wants to end up like the queen.
Gwenor gave her an incredulous look.
How could that possibly happen?
I am sorry for Her Majesty's misfortune and madness, but those things cannot be contagious.
The king's mother went mad too, Nisa whispered, and now some are saying that the king may be afflicted as well.
Gwenor stepped closer.
What is happening here?
Nisa shook her head.
Please don't ask me about it. It is forbidden to speak of the curse.
With a gasp, she slapped a hand across her mouth.
A curse? Don't say it!
Nisa looked around frantically. The dressing room door flew open and Olenka stood there, her face pale and stricken.
Did someone mention the curse of the three clans?
Nisa flinched, then clasped her sun pendant in her fist.
May the light protect us.
Is that what it's called? Gwenor asked.
The curse of the three clans?
Olenka huffed.
Well, you didn't hear it from me.
She glared at the maid.
Please forgive me.
Nisa fell to her knees.
What's wrong?
Eviana ran over with a frightened look.
Nothing, Gwenor assured her in Eberoni. We're just trying to decide which bed ye should rest in.
Oh!
Eviana pointed at the princess bed.
I want the pretty one.
Of course.
Gwenor switched to Noveshki and helped Nisa to her feet.
Please don't worry. I have no intention of telling anyone.
Thank you, my lady,
Nisa whispered.
You won't tell the general on us? Olenka asked.
Of course not.
As far as Gwenor was concerned, it was all nonsense. How on Earthlan could a curse cause madness or children to die? The very notion was ridiculous. And yet, as she looked at the empty beds, she had to wonder what could cause such tragic misfortune. The queen's madness could certainly be attributed to the overwhelming grief of losing 5 children. But what about the reading Gwenor had done when she'd grabbed the queen's wrist? Could poison be behind the queen's madness? Gwenor's skin chilled when an even more horrid thought popped into her mind. What if poison had caused the deaths of all these children? Her gaze shifted to the runes sketched above each bed. Had a dark curse dug its claws into Draven Castle? Or was something else going on? Something just as sinister but caused by humans? She pulled Eviana close. Whatever was going on here, she didn't know, but she sensed one thing for sure. It was evil. Chapter 4 General Silas Dravenko was ready to slam a fist through a wall. He paced back and forth in the Queen's sitting room, frustration dogging his every step. It had been 6 months since his last visit to Draven Castle, and in that time the Queen's condition had grown considerably worse. She now believed the children she had kidnapped were actually her own, and no one dared tell her the truth. Everyone was too afraid of inciting her wrath, too terrified of a damned curse. He halted, his hands clenched. How could a dragon's dying words from 500 years ago still be causing so much turmoil? By the light, he was sick to death of this wretched curse. It hung over his country like an ominous black cloud that no one dared look at. Instead, his countrymen huddled in its shadow, bent over with fear, too superstitious to even speak of it. Silas smacked a fist into the palm of his other hand. He'd never wanted to believe in this curse, never wanted to accept all the pain that it had allegedly caused, never wanted to surrender to a destiny of doom and despair that everyone claimed was impossible to change. Damn it! Was he the only one who believed there had to be a logical explanation for everything? 2 years ago, he'd launched an investigation into all the problems supposedly caused by the curse. He'd insisted that all the Queen's food and drink be tested before she consumed it. Some of the courtiers had openly mocked him for denying what everyone else accepted as truth. Others had warned him that if he continued to behave in a paranoid manner, then everyone would believe that he, too, was succumbing to the curse and going crazy. He snorted. It was crazier to actually believe in the damned curse. Unfortunately, he'd been forced to postpone his investigation when the elves attacked a Norveshki village close to the border. The king had immediately declared war against Woodwin, and Silas had had no choice but to march the army to the southern border. For the last 2 years, he'd been busy protecting the country. Thankfully, there were no recent problems with the other two countries that bordered Norveshka. Both Eberron and Turin had new kings who wanted peace. With a groan, Silas began to pace once again. That peace had been obliterated the second Queen Freya had ordered the kidnapping of the Eberroni princess. How could the king have gone along with it? Was Petrus losing his mind too? Don't even think that. Silas had been at his camp close to the Woodwin border when a carrier pigeon had brought the news from his spy here in the castle. His attempt to stop the fiasco hadn't been quick enough. No doubt King Leofric and King Ulfred were already assembling their armies. They would demand the return of not only the princess, but also the elfin woman Gwenor, since apparently she'd grown up with Luciana and Brigitte. And Sorcha. The thought of her brought Silas's steps to a halt. When he returned Gwenor and the little girl, would he be able to see Sorcha? She won't remember you, he thought with a sigh. She'd been only a few months old when she'd been sent away. He could hardly remember her himself, but he'd wondered about her often over the years. Had she grown up well? Was she happy? Was she courageous and smart, like Gwenor? The frustration in his heart eased. The elfin woman obviously felt a great amount of love toward Luciana's child. So chances were good that she felt the same way toward her adopted sisters, including Sorcha. He smiled at the thought of his sister growing up with the loving support of good friends. At least something in this world had gone right. But how strange that the only comfort he'd found today had been caused by an elf. His smile faded. How had she been able to hear the dragons? As far as he knew, no dragon had ever had a mental conversation with an elf. There were only a few Norveshki men who could communicate with the creatures, and they were all descended from the three cursed clans. Why was she different? And why was she so damned beautiful? Crap. Where had that thought come from? He'd met plenty of elfin warriors over the years. Hell, he'd killed more of them than he cared to remember. But Gwenor was the only female elf he'd ever seen. By their standards, she might be quite ordinary. He snorted. Who was he kidding? Her skin was a luminous white that reminded him of the sun glistening off freshly fallen snow. Her eyes were the color of wild bluebells that carpeted the forests in early spring. Her hair was as white as a cloud on a summer day. If there were such a thing as an angel, she would look just like... Elf, he reminded himself. She was a damned elf, not an angel.
The first time he'd encountered an elfin army on the field, he'd been 15 years old, and he'd laughed at the sight of them. How could men who were pretty even fight?